Miami Tech Update, November 15th. Welcome. Another good episode this week. We had last week had Ryan White talk about word of mouth. And today we have a returning guest. He was here, I think, a year ago, to be honest. Lulato, welcome back to the Miami Tech Update.
Thank you so much for having me.
So what have you been up to this past year?
I'm working for Royal Caribbean. I think when I talked to you last, I was at the beginning, like I was really starting. And now I've been there for about a year, and we're working on really cool projects. But at the same time, I'm getting more into web development a little bit. I always have been very interested in it. Have never been so productive on it, but new tools, man, new tools. They're coming out, and I'm kind of getting used to the new workflows.
And your original title, what you're doing originally for Royal Caribbean is graphic design.
I'm a product designer. I work on the app. If you take a cruise there, there's many different things that you can do on ship. One of the main ones is communicate with your family using chat. And because you're in the middle of the ocean, you don't have reception. We have a platform for you to chat with other guests and your family.
How techie is Royal Caribbean getting? I mean, are they really diving deep in technology and maybe working with artificial intelligence?
They are. So they have a lot of tracks and they have a lot of projects. They have an innovation lab. So it's really, really exciting from that point of view. We have other projects, like more commerce projects. You can think of a ship as kind of like a controlled universe. So if here we have AT&T and the ship, we have another, what is called Boom. So it's kind of like a way for you to purchase internet at sea. We also have something a little bit like Uber Eats. So if you're on ship and you want fries or a burger, it will come to the pool where you're sitting and things like that. We're working on different projects like to make your life experience there similar to what you would do on the real world.
It's interesting because now cruise ships, they have everything, now with movie theaters, ice skating. And obviously, the bigger the ship, the better. But now they're implementing stuff like Uber Eats. I would have never thought that would have happened. But
yeah, it's cool. It's cool. I mean, it's not called Uber Eats. It's Bring Me or something. It doesn't have a name per se. It's more like everything you can have is on the app. So you download the app and you pretty much have access to all the things that you ever need and your vacation.
So with the web development, obviously, I've seen a lot of designers get into web development. Some transfer over really nicely. Some like, this is not for me. How's your experience so far?
So I have been back and forth between them since I was very young. So even before I started in design school, I coded a little bit of HTML, CSS, and things like that. I got into WordPress when I was very young just because a couple of friends needed a website, or the local clients need websites and things like that. And then that's how I got into building websites. I was relying on themes, on whatever it's your theme you can have, because coding an exact representation of whatever you're designing is a little bit hard sometimes. That's how I got it started into development. I personally went to the route of designing just specifically, look, this is exactly what I want, and working with a partner or with a developer, and how can we make this happen? Because a lot of the time it's like, how do we get it exactly to where it is right now? And so that's how my workflow has been ever since forever.
Yeah, and we were chatting this past week about CMS and WordPress. Let's get into WordPress, and then let's talk about Ghost afterwards, because this is pretty interesting what you found, and I'm a WordPress guy, didn't find out. But let's start with WordPress 5.3. Well, first, what's your experience with WordPress?
So I used to hack it, right? So I used to set up an environment and local, and then just work from the theme part of you, right? I want to just control how it looks from the visitor point of view. You come to the site and I want to control the CSS, and mainly WordPress is pretty okay with that. So that's how I got it started in that section. I know how to use the CMS in general, basic stuff. I have been a little bit away. I go back and forward just to test it, what new things, but I don't actively have a project on WordPress right now. But I help out friends that have WordPress projects and things like that. I was listening to your podcast. That's why I was a little bit excited, and I heard that 5.3 came out, and I was listening about the new features, and that's how I was like, oh my God, I gotta go to Santiago. I gotta tell him about Ghost and all these things.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. I have not used the full features. It came out like 2 days ago. I have to play around with it this weekend. WordPress every year comes out with a default theme, and that theme is a good, playground to use it with. What they're trying to do is that they're trying to make it more like Divi. Have you heard of
Okay.
Divi?
I'm not familiar with that.
Divi, or also Elementor, which makes it easier for users to design their pages, layout, and design. WordPress end goal is to get to that level. I think they're one step behind, but they're really close. And to be honest, there's going to be less coding, less CSS maneuvering for websites. Now people are able to design, but I've had to do things for clients on Divi or Elementor, so meaning that yeah, it's easy to design, but some clients don't want to do it. Like even though it's easy, but like they still don't want to do it.
Yeah, so I come up from the other point of view, right? So I'm a designer first. So that's my take. And so I have always had trouble with PHP. Like if you guys know, WordPress is based on PHP, and it's a language that is similar like HTML, but it has some quirky things on it, and it has some weird things how you declare things and how you call for data, and it's not very accessible for me. Or for just in general, the regular techie guy who just wants to do some basic stuff. So that's why I sort of started trying other things and trying other platforms. I have always I know a little bit of JavaScript. I know enough to get around to create basic stuff. So I wanted a platform for me where I control the CMS, so I write on a place that I like, and then separate that from the theme, and basically have whatever or collaborate with whoever I want on the front and how it looks, and maybe I just want to grab a theme that is already built, or maybe I want to really get into the needle of exactly how it is, animate pages, make it do fancy stuff. Now that I'm able to. But WordPress has always been an integration headache for me, so that's why I, so I, that's how I ended up with Ghost. But yeah, you tell me, how has it been with WordPress for you?
Yeah, I mean WordPress, I've used it for the past 10 years. I actually started my business because of WordPress. This one developer from Romania where we went to college together, and wait, it was I think he told me about it, but I also found it on Google, and I saw, wow, like the much like the so much potential it had in that CMS, and I started, started tinkering with templates, doing websites for clients locally, just like yourself. Yeah, so far so good. Now, Go CMS, which we'll actually we'll pull this up on the screen here. Tell me how you found it and why do you think has potential?
Okay, I ran around 2012. I think I was doing some other project, and someone told me about it. Yeah, you should check out Ghost. It's one of the initial founders of creators of WordPress. He was like, he wants to do this whole stack just using JavaScript. He doesn't want to deal with PHP. Check it out. It was at that time on 0.9 or 0.7. It wasn't even the 1.0 release yet. So I built basic stuff just to play around with it. I thought it was very basic. I thought it was like, oh, this is never going to take over WordPress. And I don't think it's meant to take over WordPress. I think the guy who just wanted a blogging platform, a place for people to create editorial stuff and just worry about writing, worry about headlines and things like that, and photos, and just don't worry too much about other stuff. And then the templates that they have at the time was like very basic. So I was like, I didn't really think about it. I didn't put too much effort on it. From time to time, I would go back. At that time, I was on WordPress. I was and other CMSs, and I was like, this is gonna take a while. And even the 2.0, I thought it was like in 2014, still kind of basic. Right around that time, I think React was taking over just in general everywhere. Like a lot of people started using React, and just when you think about development and just the separation of concerns, React is more for like the front end, just the HTML part, like the view, what the people see, and the CMS is just in the background. But so other platforms kind of like come entangled, and if you want to change any visual changes, you have to get into the weed and needles. So right around 2.0, they decided that, all right, we're going to make the CMS kind of like an API. You can still use it like with our themes, and they come with a theme, and there's a bunch of themes, and you can just press whatever you want. But also, you can hit an API point and get all your JSON data. Like you can get your content as a JSON data, right? So you can get a file, and what you do with that is what you want. And so if you connect that concept with React, or whatever tool that is based around React, you can make really, really fancy websites with just JSON, with the data from yourself. And there's other platform hosting services that allow you to, whenever you make a change on your CMS, and it hooks to the front end, and that automatically refreshes the website and it recreates. And that's something that it was mind blowing for me, because I spent way too much time with integration, and all I ever wanted was change this header or animate the headline, or this button has to be fancy, or like something like that, right? And so that was exciting for me on 2.0, and 3.0, it was about, I think it was like they're just fighting against WordPress, because it was right around the time, about a week before WordPress 5.3 came out, that they introduced a bunch of new stuff, and now it feels like a mature platform. 3.0 feels nice. And I if you have never built a website, I really encourage you to check out Ghost for the first time right now. And even if you don't know React, or if you don't know anything, you can just press a button and get started in around 15 minutes. You have a website. It might be basic, it might be the basic template,
Yeah,
but
when
it's
I
good.
was, my first reaction when I was seeing that, that like it looked very simple, and I think you and I share very similar design. We like simplicity, like Apple,
Yeah.
and also they do emphasize about membership websites, which you could go by the direction of education or some other type of membership website. It's not just about membership websites, but it has that capability. How is their plugin community? Is it, pretty big? I know that WordPress is like the best when it comes to plugins, but how is Ghost with that?
Ghost is it was lacking for a really long time, and I think it's still behind. And I mean, not behind in the sense of like, oh my God, miles away, but I think what I've seen that I use, that I need, there are integrations with Zapier that allows you to have integrations with a lot more other stuff. Right out of the box, you get integration with photo platforms. I don't know exactly which plugins like people want to use for the most times, but I do basic stuff. And then my integration that I use the most is GraphQL. So it's the JSON integration that that I talked about a little bit earlier, and that allows me to get the JSON for me, right? So that's all I want. I want to create the website in React, but I don't wanna, React doesn't give you anything. It doesn't have like a CMS, right? So the CMS part is Ghost. And then, so you have other stuff. I remember I've seen quite a bit of new stuff. And then they have other stuff on the labs that they're integrating with. And one of the cool things that I think people like you or people who just want to get into content is the ability to create subscription models, right? So let's say part of your content, you wanted it to be behind a wall. Maybe you want people to have certain access. Some articles might be more ex not more expensive, but maybe like a premium model, right? You can do that, and you can have a subscription right out of the gate. They're trying out on the labs a subscription model, and that allows you to do with a connection with Stripe for somebody to just pay like I don't know, whatever you want a month, like $5 a month if you want your website to be $5 a month or whatever. And that's going to be integrated right out of the box, which makes it no plugins or something really nice that people can make money out of just writing essays or writing tech news and things like that.
Yeah, that's another topic I want to talk about. Maybe like in the future about subscription models, which I think it's getting a little too sat. Well, it's getting saturated in my opinion. And now with like Disney Plus this week, and now like the whole streaming thing is becoming a little bit saturated. But anyways, that's a whole different story. Now you've used like the other ones, Wix and Squarespace.
I have used Wix to a limited extent. I have used Squarespace a lot for quite a few clients.
Between WordPress, Wix, and Squarespace, do you like which one has like a like a great user experience?
I think so there's for me, there's a level of independence that I want my clients to have. I think I use Squarespace when I, for example, trust the person hired me to create a nice website, but I don't have time to sort of main and do maintenance and do hey, what's happening with my website? My website is down. Things like that, Squarespace is great for. They have a amazing support system, and you can call and then they set it up for you. So I see it from that point of view. From my user experience, I think I get stuck on Squarespace because I feel limited. I sometimes like drag and dropping is cool for moving content around, but I want to have control over certain things that you have to go into the CSS. That's why I like the separation of concerns. Ghost is really nice. Like it's if you open it up and you want to create a post, it's in my opinion, it looks nicer than WordPress. But I think WordPress has the plugins. Like has like if you already have a plugin that you are dependent on, that is the experience that you're expecting. And that might not be available even on Squarespace or Ghost or other CMSs. So it really depends on what you need, but from a feeling, Ghost opens up really quickly, and you can start writing right away. You press post, and the SEO for Ghost is so nice. So you know exactly what you're doing with the SEO because you have a little thing, like a little place where you write it, and you have a little preview that is it shows you how is it going to look on Google. So all those things come right out of the box with Ghost. I know that Yoast in WordPress, you have to install it. I don't know if they have improved the SEO capabilities for the WordPress, but most of the time I'm just writing and making sure that the SEO is nice and accessible.
Yeah, that's one of the advantage that WordPress has that it works with Google a lot well. I know that Google has created a couple plugins for WordPress already now with AMP, and they have like a thing called SiteKit where you're able to implement Google AdSense, Google Analytics. So Google's been I was at the WordCamp this past year. Well, it was this year or last year, and the head of WordPress was talking about, yeah, I mean, Google's are, you know, like they're kind of developing plugins for us. So it's quite interesting how they're getting very involved. And WordPress, last time I checked, is 33% of usage in the word in like the whole website world, and it's only increasing, I heard. So it's quite interesting like the whole plugins and themes community they have. It's just quite extensive. But yeah, this huge update that's happened this past week should be interesting. We'll see where it goes and what's the reaction. I know I would say that Gutenberg at first was kind of people were kind of hesitant with it, but I think they're getting used to it. It is cleaner editor, and you're able to embed stuff like YouTube and also contact Form 7. But anyways.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think and it's an exciting moment because when I thought that Ghost came out, I was like, it's just another CMS. But it pushes up the boundaries. It makes sure that WordPress keeps up with that with the new designs. It keeps up. It forces all the other CMSs to think about it in a different way and create a better experience on mobile. How are you updating your content from your phone and things like that usually people who are in the need, like on WordPress, I feel like they're being focusing on certain things, but it's good that they also starting to do other stuff that other CMSs are bringing up to the table.
Yeah, and something to definitely look at, like these CMSs. Now Shopify, which we haven't talked about, I've used that these past couple years, and wow, I mean, I can't say they're up to WordPress level, but they have a good thing going.
Yeah, their community is growing. They have meetups here too, and it's so nice to use. Shopify is so nice to use.
Yeah, like. The difference is that Shopify, if you're a plugin developer, you're able to sell your plugins really easy. WordPress, you could, but you got to do it on your own website. They don't do it in the WordPress directory. But anyways, AirPods Pro just came out a couple weeks ago. I haven't used it. I've seen them, but I haven't used it. It looks like it's more for the athlete, it feels like.
So I have them on right now.
Oh, perfect. How are they?
Okay, so there's a couple of Apple-esque type of things that are just really nice, right? So I used other earbuds before. So when you put them on, there's this nice fade in that it's just nice. It just you get the sense that oh, we're canceling the outside world right now. That's cool. And so it gives you a sense of like, oh, this is what it feels like. Because sometimes you don't know if the thing is on. It's like, is the cancellation on with the other headphones? And they sound really nice. I just don't know if they're worth $250.
That's a lot of money.
I don't think they are worth $250. I think if Apple would have been aggressive and made it $199, it would have put them in a sweet spot. I think they are. I was expecting a little bit more integration with Siri. The integration with Siri is always a little bit up in the air. I want the convenience of the Google. It's not the Google. The Google Pixel has like some things that you're like, "Hey Google, what is this?" And it understands, it knows, and everything. But there's a little bit of lag. I don't know if it's the Bluetooth, just enough lag that it feels like it's not Apple-esque.
And with Google Pixel, you're able to use the Google data offline.
I didn't know that.
Not all of it completely, but like a big portion of it. Like you're able to request stuff, and they don't have to use like the internet. It's all integrated within the device offline. So it's quite interesting. Now with the AirPods, first. Did you have like the original ones, and would you go back to the original ones now after experiencing the Pro?
I have never had the original ones.
Okay.
I'm an audiophile. Like I always wear over the years canceling headphones. I accidentally got caught on the rain on the last Sennheisers that I have, and I bust them. So I was on the market for something for my bike rides during the way to work, and something that can be weatherproof a little bit. And so I looked at the AirPods Pros. I was looking at other. My phone is the iPhone, so I was looking at Bluetooth, and so the AirPods Pro came first on the list just because the connectivity with the iPhone is really nice. But yeah, I'm not sure if I agree with the pricing model there. Yeah.
Yeah, the pricing is a little bit hard. I think you're right. I think 200 or 199 would have been, I think, a perfect price, and I think they'll sell more, but they'll sell the 250 easily. I mean, that's not going to
Yeah.
be, there are people out there that are going to spend it, but I'm really curious. This was like the version that I actually was waiting for. I know that they have, two previous versions, but I think this version is, I think it's for anyone, to be honest. And you're able to change like the ear case, I think. You're able to change the size depending on your earlobe, your ear hole size, because I know everyone's ears are different than the others, but like the whole noise cancellation and is really quite interesting. So, but we'll see. I'm not a I mean I just got a just got a new pair of AirPods about a couple months ago, so I'm not due to upgrade, but we'll see what happens. I might risk it and get it.
On the settings, you go on the settings Bluetooth. There is like an extra setting for the AirPods Pro, and they have a little thing that says test if your earbuds, it doesn't say that, but it's something along the lines of test if your earbuds are the perfect fit. So you press that button and they play a little music on your ears, and it tells you if you should change the tips. Because if they're probably seeing how much it bleeds out, like they have some sort of sensor probably, and it tells you. And one time my earbuds were not properly in my ear, so it was telling me to put that earbud a little bit in, because I guess if I'm riding my bike full speed, they might fly out. So like it's good. I mean, it's nice, and it's a nice experience. All the little Apple things that press this thing, or like it will do, or like even when you bring that little case close to the iPhone, it just magically connects, and it's really nice, like on that level. But the sound is are not up to the par of what you would pay for a $250 anything of sound. Like, yeah,
Would you rather buy the AirPods Pro or the Apple Watch?
Apple Watch, no doubt it. I have an Apple Watch. Like, and if I lose the Apple Watch, I would buy one immediately. If I lose these Apple Pros, I don't care. I'll probably buy a different AirPods or a different headphones or something.
How about this? I had this idea for about a year. Put a cell phone chip in the AirPods and use it as a phone, meaning you don't need the phone to talk to people. You use AirPods itself. It becomes your cell phone. What do you think about that idea?
I mean, I had a talk with somebody, not close at Apple, but they work closely with partners at Apple, and what they're trying to do, and what I sort of have the setup right now is I have the headphones or the AirPods Pro connected to my watch, not connected to my, I mean, they're I can disconnect it and connect it to the other one, but the main device that it's connected to is the watch. So the watch is going to get more powerful over the years. And it's going to be at the level of, you might get like an A10 chip on the watch, right? So the watch will be the primarily hardware chip, and then it will be connected. Because I think you don't have the real estate. I mean, even on the AirPods Pros, the battery at best, it will last 3/4 of the day, not even a full day. So you have to put it back into the little case and to do a little bit of recharge. So I don't know if, like, maybe in the future for sure, like one device and it will be just your pro your.
Yeah, like the battery capability. I mean, I've had the iPhone 11 for about a month or so, and the battery is great. Yes, I know every new phone your battery is better, but I feel like this battery life is going to be good for the rest of the year. But we'll see. Obviously, I
Yeah.
know they're venting like these power chargers and these wireless chargers. But you're right, the watch, it could replace a phone, which will help us from like the whole addiction of checking like your phone a lot. So I hope that be a positive on that end.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm trying to think of all the reasons that I check my phone. Obviously, content consumption. There's not a doubt about and there's not a doubt about that. But for notifications, my heart rate, my exercise, my work calendar, what do I have to be right now? All that stuff. The watch is more than sufficient in certain areas. Obviously, you can't do much texting. You can receive text, but you can't too much texting. But once the voice recognition gets better, voice is the future. But we'll see if Apple can tackle that.
Tonight, Peru versus Colombia, friendly. It's gonna be, I think it's gonna be a home crowd for Colombia. I mean, there's a lot of Peruans down here, don't get me wrong, but what do you expect for tonight?
Yeah, so the reason that I was a little late, it was just my uncles like all came over. We've been planning this for a little while, so we're all going Hard Rock Stadium. It should be like a good night. I don't know if I agree with you. It'd be home for Colombia, just because I went to Peru, Croatia, I think it was, and it was like a packed full. Every single person in the stadium, except for like a little group, was Peruvian. So it might be like a 50-50, because I know there's a lot of Colombians, there's a lot of Peruvians, there's a lot of people who just love soccer might be there. I want to say with the teams, the Colombian and the Peruvian team, I think it's going to be a hard match. I think it's going to be a 1-0, 2-1 scenario for either one, I think. But I'm hoping that it's
Yeah,
Peru.
looks like Andre, I'm reading here, Andre Carrillo and Christian Cueva have been left out due to their poor form in recent months. Looking at their lineup, they look pretty good. I don't think that one guy, oh, Paolo Guerrero will be there tonight, so definitely be a high turnout if he's playing. And then for Colombia, you got most of the stars there, Jaime Rodriguez, Luis Morel, Yerry Mina, so it's a team. Pretty much 18
18.
versus 18, so that's a good,
Yeah.
especially during this time of year, because a lot of clubs are in like the middle of the season, and they want to keep their players healthy, of course. But anyways, what is your prediction for that game?
I think it's gonna be a 2-1. It's like Guerrero to come save the game at the last minute. He did that for the how do you say eliminatorias in English?
Qualification.
Qualifications for the World Cup.
Correct, yeah.
I remember that was like a 2-1 or like a 1-1 game. So yeah, I think it's gonna be a close game, mainly because Colombia is so stacked.
Yeah.
Peru has been playing so long, so good recently. So I'm being really hopeful. Usually, I'm very pessimistic about the Peruvian selection,
But they finished
but
second place in the Copa America. I thought that was great.
that was amazing. Yeah, it was so unexpected from
But they had no
Ireland.
chance against Brazil in Brazil. I mean, that was a given. You know that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's funny because people always talk about how Colombia and Peru agreed to tie that last game before the 2018 World Cup, like the last qualifier. So there's always that huge conspiracy theory, because I think if they tied, they left Chile out. I think that's how it worked. I don't remember exactly, but I know there was some type of, oh no, like they had a tie, because if they tie, they both get in.
Okay, so that was half true.
Yeah, okay.
So, if Peru would have won, okay, first context. On the South American league, on the South American table, there's one spot that doesn't guarantee you in, but it guarantees you a play with the Oceania a league. So it wasn't guaranteed that we are in. It was guaranteed that we can play a game against a New Zealand. And then if we beat New Zealand, then we're in. So it is. I mean, I can see both ways why Chileans think that way. But I wanted to win. I wanted to win because like a win would guarantee it
Right.
that we won to the World Cup. A tie did not guarantee it for us.
Yeah,
So
because you had to face against a team like New Zealand or I think someone from Asia or someone from Africa, but which I think was New Zealand, and I
New
think you,
Zealand,
and which you guys did a great job.
yeah.
This is Peru's golden generation. This is the team that you haven't seen since the 80s or early 80s. So, but like for like the World Cup, you saw some immaturity, and they missed that penalty, which I think that gave away the World Cup. But that's another podcast to talk about. But hey, good second place. Hey, it should. I mean, where was Colombia? Where was all these other teams that were favorited? Peru is underrated. I mean, this team, full talent. They're young. I think they have like one good World Cup left in them, but I think they look promising. So.
Yeah, I really like the coach, and he knows how to plant the seeds for the future generation. We will see a lot of that on this game because we have some players out. So there will be some spots to be filled in. So I think it'll be a great chance for these young gangs to like see what they got and see if they can prove themselves.
We're going toward the end of the show. Random question. What is your favorite Elijah Wood movie?
Elijah Wood movie. It has to be a small, a really short film. There is a this film is called Paris, I Love You, and has a lot of tiny little films within it, and one of them is directed and acted, I believe, and no, definitely is Elijah Wood in the film, but I believe he might have been also the director, but I gotta double check on that one. I don't quite remember the name of that within film, the tiny film within the big film called Paris, I Love You, but they're all like films about the idea of Paris, and it's just little where he's like a vampire, and it's really short and sweet. That's one of my favorites, and but I've seen some Elijah other ones that I really like.
Yeah, he's done a lot. It's funny because I was looking at his IMDb, and he's that guy's a professional actor, director as well. Give us an update on your video projects. Are you still doing video still?
Yes, so last time we talked, we did talk about I was starting to doing tutorials. So there's some of those on my channel. I'm still getting better at it because it's just a major shift of what I was doing. I still want to continue to do blogging, but I think what I wanted to do is essentially create like a sort of like a couple playlists of tutorials that I think people who are just getting into design or UX or even soft web development, as I call it, like basic HTML and CSS, can just start it watching a little bit and just sort of follow it. The tutorials are going to get better, but then I'm going to go back to vlogging, because essentially what I want is I want to get those people who are usually watching vlogs more into other topics like UX and development, things like that, and maybe they see like my lifestyle, which is developing apps and how to do these stuff. So I hope that I could get better at tutorials, and but it's mainly a vlogging channel.
That's good. I know you're very good with content, video, and editing. You have a good eye for design. I think we share very similar design styles, which I think, which is why we get along. I want to tell you, WordCamp is coming in Miami next year, end of February, like the very last weekend of February. I think you should submit to speak.
Okay. I mean, I don't know what's the process like, or if it's applications and things like that, right?
The application status will open up this weekend. And if you just Google, WordCamp Miami 2019, there's a lot of topics you could talk about design, you could talk about content. I mean, you're pretty much, ready to talk, or maybe you could talk about ghosts. I'm kidding.
That would make people fall asleep.
Anyways, Lulato, what is the best way to reach you online?
Twitter. You can hit me up on Twitter. I'm always there. I'm addicted to the feed. At dlulato, thelulato. Just come say hello. I mainly put videos of prototypes that I'm working on for fun and random stuff. I rant about design and things like that, or Amazon and how they're capitalizing on everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, just hit me up, say hello. I'm always down to follow each other.
Yes. Follow Lulato at the Lulato, and you can follow me at Sleon SLEON or on SleonProductions.com. We have some articles, videos on technology and business, and see what's happening in the world. A lot going on. Christmas is coming up, so a lot of stuff are coming out. Google Pixel, the iPhone, the AirPods, and also like the Samsung phones. So a lot going on. A lot of questions were asking me, should I upgrade? Should you not upgrade? I always say, if your phone is like 2 years old and if it starts getting slow, maybe it is time to upgrade. And there's a lot of good programs out there to lease out your phone, or maybe the best is just buy out right in cash, get it out of the way. But yeah, Miami Tech Update. We have these shows frequently throughout the year. WordCamp Miami is coming. It's coming next February 29th through March 1st. Check it out. It's one of the cheapest conferences in Miami. You learn about WordPress. You could learn about content, design, development. And see some motivational speakers out there, because the tech world, it's only growing, and it's always great to see new faces. But anyways, Lato, any closing words?
Thank you so much for having me again. Just to remind you how good you sound on the podcast, that's why I follow you, that's why I subscribe. And thank you for updating everybody with the tech news.
No problem, Lato, and we'd love to have you back.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too.